and welcome back to another Nextlander podcast. Here we are trucking through January. January, Alex?
I don't know why, for some reason, that just sounded offensive to me. January, it's wrong, it's bad.
January, Brad?
We really got to work on, workshop our month-related goofs a little bit.
There's only 12 of them, and they keep happening. We'll run out of bits eventually.
And they're the same months every year, you know? It's like we got a whole year to think about it.
You gotta change it up, man.
I used up a lot of good stuff in my 20s. This is what we got left.
Now's the time to introduce a new month, I think.
Yeah, that's what the world needs.
Gregorian calendar is so old hat. It's such bullshit. It's time to rebrand it. It's time to make it now and exciting for the 90s.
Can we go back to the Julian calendar?
Okay.
No.
How about we go to the Caravella calendar? No months. Just do all the days. Just do 365 days. One big month. Get rid of this shit.
There you go.
Just stresses people out.
I just think we should add a 13th month. I think we should shorten all the other months by like 5 or 6 days. We throw in a 13th month and it just, you know, just to see what happens.
Don't say Smarch, though. It's got to be something else.
No. Smarch is taken. We got to find something else.
Would there be any new holidays or something? Or like, what would the theme of your month be?
It is a month entirely of holidays. There will be no work during this month. All new holidays. We'll just invent 30, like 20 new holidays.
This sounds amazing. Is it a summer month, a winter month, a fall month? What do we?
You know what? It should change every year.
Okay.
Like a leap month?
That month should fall at a different season every year.
It's kind of like a leap month.
Wow. It rotates. Well,
it's not a leap month because it doesn't not happen the following year, but it changes seasons. Like, you know, let's just call it Smarch as a code name for now.
Uh-huh.
Like, Smarch is winter the first year, and then it's spring the next year. And it's just, yeah.
Yes. Make it really confusing.
Project Smarch working title.
Yeah.
Okay, good. I'm with you, and we'll get rid of daylight savings time and add a fucking rotating month to the calendar.
Yeah.
It will be, in whichever case, all of North America, maybe the world, has off.
Yeah,
I want to
again emphasize, I am in no way paid by the greeting card companies officially. That's all under the table, so there's no paperwork.
I think the biggest hurdle in this current climate here in the United States, at least, is you will get states that will not do it just because they think they don't align with whatever political agenda Smarch has in it. You know,
Smarch has become too woke, is what you're saying.
It'll be like, you know, like, we don't recognize Smarch, so here, it's April.
Well, that's going to make it a lot easier to marginalize those states when we eventually need to.
Okay, great.
If they won't even adhere to our new branded time, then, like, what? Like, the union is not savable.
Man.
Wow.
Went from goofs about a 13th month to the breakdown of federalism very quickly.
Over Smarch.
Welcome to 2025.
I'm just lobbing grenades in here. I'm just trying to break some shit up, make some shit happen.
Yeah,
I've just been sitting here for the last 2 weeks in January being cold and waiting for something good to happen.
Well, I can't necessarily make it warmer, but something good is going to happen, and it's this podcast. So here you go.
Well, no, it's not going to happen. It's happening.
We're doing it.
Yeah.
It's happening, folks.
And nothing good will come after it.
No, after this, it just gets cold again.
Not until we add Smarch.
Pretty cold. Yes, we had Never Been a Better Podcast yesterday. Good to see Austin and Bacalar. That was a nice highlight of the evening.
Mm-hmm.
Bacalar going to see CES?
No.
No, he has stopped doing that.
He hated that when he was going.
Wait, did he?
Oh, yeah.
It was not his favorite thing.
Well, I mean, okay. I get it. Like, look.
Well, I love hate, maybe.
I know other people who also covered CES annually. They all hated it, too.
Yeah.
Going to Vegas that much is too much.
Yeah, I think talking to him offline, he kind of expressed a bit of like, I think you expressed this too, Brad. It's just the whole thing is just swallowed up by like AI now. So it's just not as interesting maybe as it used to be.
Well, I did a little looking around after last week's podcast. I tried to find the good CES.
Yeah.
Asus had a laptop with a perfume cartridge in it.
There you go. Smell it.
You may have seen the tall laptop, the rollable laptop.
I did not.
I think it was a Lenovo. Imagine a laptop with an extremely tall screen, like way taller than would fit as a lid over the keyboard.
So what happens when you close it?
It rolls up. It retracts. There's a button that it mechanically, there's a motor that it rolls the screen up inside the body of the laptop.
There's my foldables. Yep.
So see, good CES is still out there.
Okay, well, when that thing hits the consumer market, let me know. My laptop market. Do you guys just have like MacBooks, right? You
don't
have
I just have an PC. Old MacBook I've had for several years that basically I only ever turn on to encode MP3s now.
Got it. No PC laptops kicking around?
Nope.
I do have one. I have a gaming laptop that's fairly old, but yeah. I don't use it a lot unless I'm traveling and I have to game.
I'm traveling and even and then, I have to I honestly, need
live yeah. to game.
And honestly, game even then live. The number of games I would need to play on that thing versus my Steam Deck at this point is like extremely low.
Okay. All right. Or whatever we talked about last week, maybe the newer Steam Decks that
Steam Deck.
Yeah. Get one of those 11-inch Steam Deck clones.
Yeah, man.
I think two companies had 11-inch handhelds there.
Great.
That's
11
huge.
Inches of Steam Deck.
That's huge.
Man, Smart's just kicking off.
Yeah, it's too big, arguably. Where are you going to fit that thing?
I don't know.
They're going to get somebody killed.
Yeah.
Video games. What? Are kind of what we're here to talk about, but we'll get to that in a second.
I admire your conviction.
Yeah. Has it ever really been the thing, really? It brings us together.
It's the thing. It's the starting point. Yeah. It's like the foundation.
I'm just going to talk a little bit, since we're going to talk about this a little later on, and I'm excited about it. Mm-hmm. There's an Xbox Developer Direct later on.
Yeah.
And I finally, in 2025, one of the things I wanted to do was add events to our game tracking tool, because the Internet Games Database, which I think their data is very good. I think it seems to keep up, added an events endpoint, which is something that I think is awesome. And they keep up with it pretty well, and I hope they continue to. So like after like a developer direct or the Game Awards, they're updating what games were shown pretty quickly to that thing. So you get all the associated trailers that were shown and all that nonsense, and you could they put links to the stream as they're archived on YouTube or wherever it was shown. And I was like, man, this is good data. I want to be able to search through this on our tool for when we talk about stuff. And finally added it in. So bless them, bless their hearts. And if anybody wants to bang around on it, I made it the that branch live right now to kick around for a little bit. So go break it and see where it falls apart. You can message me and tell me where it's at. But I had a fun time going back and seeing how much old stuff they have, which don't have everything. Obviously, it's a lot of work to go and fill all that stuff in, but up through the 2000s, they have a lot.
I'm sitting here looking at the Nintendo Difference, Nintendo Press Conference E3 2001.
There you go. Is it filled in with data? So they have some stuff, but not the data.
Every game shown, I think, in order, I'm guessing. Every game shown at the 2000. In fact, there's a link to the press conference in here.
Yes.
Here is Iwata at a podium in a ballroom, because that's when E3 press conferences were still in hotel ballroom.
Yeah.
I want to know what the Nintendo Difference is.
So you can't, nobody can tell you what the Nintendo
Difference
is. It's
tiny discs. Well, this was 2001.
This was 2001. So it was the GameCube era. So the difference was about 20 million units.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
And a controller no one liked.
So that's I say that mostly just to be like, that was a fun little thing to work on. I will continue to work on that. But
it's useful.
It's useful.
Like, it's useful. Maybe not as much for the end user, but like for people like
for us
who like want to know like what games were shown at which events and when they're happening and blah blah blah. Like it's actually pretty valuable data to just be able to say like, here's a bunch of events I never even heard of in 2024. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of video game showcases now.
Yes.
Arguably too many.
I actually didn't put a whole entire year tab on there because it was too many and I didn't want to have to sort through all that data because it brings a lot. Anyway, I did that instead of playing a lot of games this week.
There aren't a lot of new games out yet. There are a couple, but like the year has not fully gotten into swing as far as that stuff goes.
Yeah, next month.
Yeah. Yeah.
And in doing that, the thing that occurred to me too was like, man, we should sit down again. For folks who don't know, at one point we did sit down. We were really thinking about what the hell we're going to do for a website. Mm-hmm. We sat down. We talked to some folks. We got some designs. It didn't quite work out, but we should revisit that. And you know what? Let's just build it. Let's just build what we want. Mm-hmm. Let's just build it.
No one else is going to do it.
No. What do we want on there? A blog? What are we? A schedule is a thing we wanted on there.
Yeah, I mean the easiest thing to me. I haven't spent a lot of time looking at this stuff, but just like probably putting a WordPress or a Ghost template or something together that can take in feeds of all of our stuff is a good starting point.
Yeah. Or a Squarespace page, perhaps. They're not sponsors right now, so we don't actually have to do that. But
I don't know how well that would integrate with Patreon. We'd have to look into that stuff. I assume there are ways to get a feed out of Patreon.
So I mucked around with it a while ago, and I've actually talked to some people on our Discord about either using Patreon's API or just getting the RSS feed, which you can bring in. And I mucked around with it, and it seemed like it could work.
Yeah, all that stuff. Yeah, like all you would need is just a stub page for each Patreon. Here we are just planning business shit on the podcast.
If people have ideas for what they'd like to see on a nextlander.com, we should just do it. We talked about a schedule, like having, or at least like the last week, Brad, are you thinking like the last week's stuff on it?
Yeah, maybe.
How far back would you go?
Oh, well, it would just be a feed. I think it would just take in everything, right? Which
I don't know.
In our case is basically just Patreon and YouTube content, but
Twitch streams,
podcasts in our case, because everything we do on Twitch ends up on YouTube. I think we would just link to the YouTube stuff.
Okay.
And the Patreon content would probably just be per item, would just be like a stub page that's like, here's the description and a link to go pay us if you want to consume this content.
An about page?
Yeah, sure.
Would you do, I think a blog or at least something where we can do the schedule. We can do any written posts, the updates and stuff like that. So some kind of CMS or content management system where we could put that stuff up.
Yeah, right.
Probably valuable.
I bet there are like schedule plugins that would construct some kind of nice graphic calendar kind of thing.
I don't know. What else you want on there? A comic strip?
Yes.
You know? Yeah.
Guest book.
Can we do the old Blues News thing where we keep an artist on retainer to do a custom custom logo every week?
Oh wow. Okay. I didn't even know Blues Clues did that.
Blues Clues?
Blues News. Blues News, sorry.
Blues Clues, I don't think did that.
All right. Let's do it. 2025. Let's do it.
Year of the website.
Yes, websites are big. I hear.
A forum where you can go and
let's not be crazy now.
Sound off in the forum.
Some kind of comments section?
No. No comment section.
Okay.
You could only put little hearts, only stickers and hearts. Websites.
Can we have a web counter?
Yes, of course.
It ticks over every time someone visits the site.
It's called Google Analytics.
No, people need to see it. It needs to be like a little like ticker like thing where like a number goes up every time someone joins.
Is it actually functional or is it just fake? Like most of them were. That was just like animated GIFs of counters going up.
I'll never reveal my secrets.
Oh, no. Well, let's talk about a little bit of video games. I'll kick it off here with one that I finished up before we kick it off into the new stuff because I don't have too much to say about it. Star Wars Outlaws. I'm done. Done and
you
dusted.
Did it.
You're free.
No more Star Wars.
I hear that skeleton crew is not bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I actually heard it stuck the landing, which has been one of the problems with some of these Disney Star Wars shows, is that it actually concluded reasonably well.
Also a prominent Jude Law vehicle.
That's right. I'm just maybe no coincidence.
Try not to talk too much about my growing Jude Law fandom here. We can move on.
Good tie into our watch cast, July, terrific, January.
Terrific actor, very handsome man.
Star Wars Outlaws, I may go back and just get the platinum since I'm only missing like four or five trophies. One of them seemed difficult. One of them seemed hard enough where I was like, I don't know if I'm not going to get all of them, but one, you know what I mean? And one of them seemed like a pain in the butt enough. Maybe I should just try and do that one. And if I get that one, then
what is that one?
That one is, I think it's take down every faction's capital ship without getting damage to your hull.
Hmm.
Which I was like,
that
sounds
doable.
Yeah, I guess it sounds like a pain in the neck though. I don't know. I have to give it a try. Maybe there's a guide to it somewhere. So, I think that game is pretty good. And if folks listening to this probably know what that means to me by now, it's like, it's not outstanding. It's not terrible.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty good. I'm not necessarily saying that as some huge admonishment of the game. That's just what it is. It's fine.
Yeah.
Except for the last stealth sequence, which is dog shit.
Oh.
And people listening to that probably knows what that means. It's not great.
Interesting.
It's not fine.
Even with the supposed improvements to the stealth.
It's not that it's hard or necessarily designed. Well, no, I think it is designed poorly. It's just goofy. It's just this forced stealth sequence that you have to do three times, where you can break the stealth or break line of sight by like going behind a half height wall mm-hmm. and just crouching behind that as one person chases you around. And so you just do this dumb Three Stooges loop around it. And they're like, as soon as you get around the wall twice, they're like, where'd he go? You know? And then they're like, I'm going to get you. And you're just doing this circle around this, like all this stuff here. And it's supposed to be menacing and have tension. And it's so there were points where they were chasing me and I jump over the wall and duck over it and then just continue going behind them as they continue going forward. And they'd be like, where are you? I'm going to get you. And even my kids were just cracking up being like, wow, this is really silly.
Huh. Hey, look, boss fights are hard. Ending games is hard.
Ending games is hard.
But also, like, Ubisoft has, let's just say, a fair amount of experience making these types of open world games. You would think that maybe there would be some transferred knowledge about, like, what maybe works in one of these and what doesn't.
Yeah, I mean, Ubisoft does, but Massive maybe does not. Although, yes, there could be collaboration with other studios, maybe, but yeah.
I mean, if it's Ubisoft, there's at least five international support studios doing work on it at any given time.
Dude, the credits on that thing, forget it. Forget it. Almost as long as the game.
Many nations.
The thing with that game is there are no real boss fights, right? Like there are no like health bars, you know, health bar bosses, or there's two types of gameplay. They throw a ton of enemies at you or you are stealthing. So, you know, they kind of have to, how do you escalate that up? They throw a ton of enemies at you in certain parts. And then you have this stealth sequence and then you have some ship combat after that, which is fine. It's fine. But generally, I like it. You know, it was a good running around checklist game.
Would not have cracked the top 10.
No.
Okay.
No,
okay.
Not for me.
Did you ever feel like any decision you made in the game truly mattered? Beyond like a faction rep slider moving one direction.
Okay. Okay. All right.
All right.
No. No, they're all faction rep related. The DLC is kind of fun. I think that's it goes up there on that list of, you know, DLCs that are like, oh, you had a vision that you probably couldn't get into the game. This is more fun than a lot of the stuff in the game. Like it's fleshed out. It's got like some unique mechanics or set pieces, at least in it. It's a big Sabacc game, which is kind of fun. And by the time you get up to that, your Sabacc playing is mostly just mini games of you cheating, which is actually kind of fun. So I did enjoy that. So Star Wars Outlaws would not have cracked the top 10 on my list, but it's a fine game. Glad I finished it up. I wonder if that thing will see more in the future, or I probably did. Okay. Right.
I mean, not initially. No.
Yeah.
I don't know where it's at. Remember, that was the whole thing behind their investor messaging. Yeah, yeah. Like, we're fixing it and relaunching it. I don't know how it's done since then.
All hope lies with you. There is another Assassins.
Isn't there another DLC pack on the way? I can't remember.
For like the season pass stuff. Did they do a season? I can't remember.
Yeah, there is a gold edition get everything thing, but I'm not sure if beyond like Jabba and Lando and all that stuff, if there's another DLC coming.
It's a fine game. I wouldn't mind seeing more of it if they decided to flesh it out more and see what a new one would be. Like I said, the Star Wars-y of it is pretty good. Before we get into the break here, though, I do want to hear about The Root Trees Are Dead. A game both of you guys touched. I did not touch it because I was hoping to do this with either you guys or Abby Russell at some point, because it seems like a pretty fun detective-y adventure game.
Yeah. It's a social deduction game is the way I would put it. It is a game where you are using research materials, be it the internet or other periodicals, to try and put together the family tree of this very well-to-do candy magnate family.
Yeah, like full-on billionaire family kind of situation. Like Vinny, you discovered this when we were doing the Planorama, and then
somebody had messaged me about it,
because it's pretty like small and unassuming. I don't remember how much is it. Like
It's like, I think it's less than $20.
But I think Jason, it's 20 on Steam.
But yeah. Jason Schreier last week had played an early version or early copy and was just like full on, hey, this is like top 10 game of the year list material for me. You should check this out. And
there is another version of this game out there on itch.io. It's kind of the original version of this game. It was the one they made basically before they got some backing to make a more fleshed out version of it.
Okay. Like, I probably would not have checked it out if it hadn't been for this early buzz. It seems pretty awesome, though. Like,
yeah, it's cool.
I am into it so far. It's a period piece. It's like late 90s.
Mm-hmm.
So all your computer looks like Windows 95 and so on and so forth.
Are you a named character?
No,
you're not like, exactly.
I'm guessing this never changes because it is a pretty small game in scope from the looks of things, but you are just a person in a room with like a cork board and a desk with a computer on it and a shelf full of books and another desk where your evidence is laid out.
Like a little Nancy Drew-esque.
Yeah, and I think that's it, right? Like, isn't that
pretty much.
And it's all just kind of menu driven. You just bounce between those points. Like, I'm going to go search the computer. Now I'm going to go back to my notebook. Now I'm going to go look at the cork board because ultimately you're trying to, the conceit of this game is bizarre. You're trying to unravel. I'm going to try to get one of those words out.
Yeah.
You're trying to unravel the family tree of this whole line back 100 years to when the candy company was founded because they all died in a plane crash and they've got to sort out who gets what is the,
the three daughters and the current president CEO who is like the fifth generation president of the company, all died on their private jet. Ooh. And so a shadowy woman arrives at your doorstep and is like, so, all right, you know what's going on. Here's what I need. I heard you're very good at picking apart family trees.
Yeah,
so
what is she? She calls you a genealogy genie.
Yeah,
okay.
I think.
All right.
And the thing is that what she wants is for you to find every single one of the blood relatives of the root tree family, because there are a lot of people that have the name root tree, but some of them are only there by marriage. And there is like this kind of interfamily pact about who gets the money that requires you to be a blood relative. So that's why you kind of have to tease out who is connected to who.
Yeah, like the core conceit of this, I mean, this is like seems to be like one of the wealthiest, most connected families on the planet from the sound of things. The idea that nobody knows anything about their family tree or who's related to whom, maybe a little silly, but it's a video game. I mean, that's for you to solve, of course.
I think it's less that no one knows and more that one, by setting it in the 90s, you are limiting a little bit about like who has access to the internet and like what level of records are available online. Yeah. And two, it's more that there's just a lot of people that are all very connected to the root tree family in various ways. And the lawyers want to make sure they are not divvying out money to people who aren't entitled to it.
Yeah. Yeah. Fair. It is a big family tree. Like they start you off with just the three sisters. Like I'm not super far in past the point where you unlock the full family tree, but it seems like pretty much all of the like stuff you're inputting is just like names, faces, occupations, and like marital relationships. Like those are the things you're trying to sleuth out, but they start out with you just doing that for the three sisters, who all are like blonde women of similar age, so like they're, you have to do a little bit of deduction to figure out who's who,
like which one of them is married, you know, which one of them like had a modeling career, like that kind of stuff,
which one had pierced ears.
Anyway,
once you do that, they unlock the full family tree and it's freaking huge. It's like, oh
yeah,
my
it's
god,
very large.
I don't know where to start here, except they do star like half a dozen people on there as, I guess, as if to say like, oh, these are the ones you should maybe investigate first.
Like the way the thing they compare it to, apart from like Oprah Din, which was the one I heard a lot like referenced with this game, is Her Story. And I think that actually is the one that feels the most specifically like this, because you are just putting search terms into their version of Google. You are like pulling up like library databases and, you know, periodicals and whatnot. And basically what you're doing is you can do this basically in any order. Like those first, like those important root tree names that they give you are basically just the ones they say are like, you will find the most information searching for these people. And then they will like from that information, you will be able to branch out further, you know, ultimately you do still need to identify everybody.
Did they give you any kind of checkpoint or threshold where you're like, okay, now you said, Brad, they had the ones with the stars, but how do you know when you're right? Do they give you
a concept of like locking in a person? So they basically, I think they basically tell you once you've filled in everything about a person and it's all correct, they'll like lock them in.
It's every three people you manage to do that, you have locked in and moved on to the next step of things.
Do
you know if do they give you more pieces of evidence every time you do three people? I haven't gotten that far yet.
Sometimes, yes. Like, so there's the way it seems like it checks it off is that once you've hit a certain threshold, the shadowy lady shows back up and she's like, hey, a pipe burst in that office, but I found some pictures and some stuff. And she hands you a little bit of new evidence.
There's something a little shady going on, it seems like. Like, at one point, she's like, by the way, if anybody else shows up claiming to represent the root trees, I was never here.
Interesting. Okay, so there's a little meta narrative going on.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, there's definitely some kind of mystery humming in the background because, you know, obviously there's a ton of money involved here, and it seems like there's a lot of weird elements to the family that are not necessarily like super shady, but like, you know, for instance, one of the lines of the original, like the founder of the company, like his youngest son, Miracle, had two sons after, or a son after him, and then that there was another son, Miracle the Third, and they all became televangelists.
Okay.
So there's like some, you know, like there are elements of the family that are not like specifically part of the business, but are still, you know, part of that tree. And there's like weird, shady business going on with some of them. Like there's another one that was like a disco musician in the 70s, and you like uncover their like recordings.
Huh.
And you can listen to them?
Yes. There's at least a couple of songs you can listen to, at least samples of.
Yeah, you've got a straight up boombox like cassette player on the shelf, which is also where you mess with the soundtrack.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's got a neat little thing. This is like the fastest like boot up game to go see if the soundtrack is on sale ever for me, because it's just some kind of cheesy like slinky detective jazz.
Yeah.
Which
is good.
It is not for sale, but whenever a song is playing, there's a little cassette tape you can click on that'll show you the name and artist. And in fact, some of them are Creative Commons, like freely available, so you could just click out and go get the song.
Oh,
which is kind of cool. It seems really neat. It's got a lot of personality to it. Like there's FMV at the beginning. There's an FMV news report at the beginning that
love it.
I don't know how much more FMV is going to show up, but like it's got a really delightful, like just barely professional enough to be in a game kind of vibe, if that makes sense.
Yeah, sure. Totally.
Definitely
a guy in front of a green screen.
Yes. Like every time you hit a milestone and it turns you loose to go investigate more, like it just has this full frame title that just says sleuth.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's got a goofy vibe to it for sure, and like, you know, the 90s internet stuff is fun. Like, what do they call it, like Spider Search is the name of your search engine.
Can you search like, I don't know, Transformers on there, or would it be like nothing comes
up?
You
can type whatever you want in. I'm sure it's quite narrow in terms of what it's got results for.
It won't pop anything for you that does not have some kind of tie to what you're looking for.
Okay. On Root Tree Net.
And you get yeah, actually, I think the lady does make some mention at some point of you're getting access to like special websites or something like that.
Oh.
I forget. They throw you a curveball, like they kind of set up what the investigation is going to be like right away, because it's quite easy to identify those three sisters. But there's one thing about them where what it ultimately boils down to is that the name everybody calls her is a nickname, not her legal name.
Yeah.
And so when you're matching names to faces on the family tree, you have a list of, you can't type names in. You have a list of like identified legal names to fill in. And so it took me a little while to go like, why is the one sister not on the list? What's going on here? And then realize that was not her real name. But then it took a little more doing to drill down in web search results to finally find her real name.
Do you have a notepad in game or something where you can take notes? Or
you do have a notebook. You can like drag select text on the web, just like in a real web browser. And then you can right click anything you've selected and make a note out of it, I think.
Okay.
And then you can also copy any text that you see in anything else and like copy and paste it.
Yeah. So that stuff will go in your notebook. And then I think you can like annotate the notes that you've made and stuff like that.
Okay, so you don't necessarily need to have like a pen and paper next to you.
Not that I've seen. I haven't really used the notebook yet, but it seems like that would serve that role. Like
Can you bring up the genealogy report anytime you want? Like while you're reading.
Yes, that's just a straight up board of like, here's like everything is branched out. It's just that everything is hidden, so you can pull up that board anytime.
Yeah, it's kind of like the newest Golden Idol, where there's like a menu bar at the bottom that you can just bounce between like desk and computer and cork board and everything.
So you find a piece of information, you can immediately go plug it in if you want.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's neat. It is very like Oberdin, and also reminds me of Golden Idol quite a bit.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Love it. Yes. I love that these games are out there. That's
it's a cool system. Like, you know, again, it is not like the flashiest looking game by any stretch, but I think if you enjoy these kinds of like deductive puzzles, it is absolutely, it has a very compelling breadcrumb trail.
It's a little bit of a cheesy vibe, but in a fun way.
Yeah, no, it's good. Like, it looks cool. It's just, it's not like, you know, flashy.
The Root Trees Are Dead, available now on PC. Like Alex mentioned, it's on Steam, but there are other versions out
there.
Yeah,
I'll say again, if you look up the Itch version, I think it is an earlier version of this game that is not as fleshed out as this one, so you would be getting a slightly different experience.
All right, again, Root Trees Are Dead. We're going to take a quick break here. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about some other games we got our hands on or touched or licked or smelled, whatever you do.
Put
with your games.
Butt, whatever.
Wait, hey. Switch 2 is not out yet.
Oh,
the game,
okay.
The game, well, licking will come later.
Yeah. Well, we're doing this live, and it's Wednesday. Who knows? Who knows at this point?
Who knows what we'll be licking by the end of this week?
Or by the end of this podcast. All right, stick around. We'll be right back. All right, we are back. We got a couple of other things here happening in January. Brad, you had played Hyper Light Breaker previously at Summer Games?
Yes, Summer Game Fest.
And now it's in early access.
Correct.
And you've gone back.
I did. It just came out last night, so I just very briefly fired it up this morning.
What'd you think?
It seems cool. No surprises from Summer Game Fest. Like, it was pretty rough. It was, in fact, quite rough at Summer Game Fest when I played it, and it feels technically pretty sound now.
Okay.
Still, I mean, we've talked about this before. Like, it's an open world procedurally generated, like, loot game, basically. Like, a lot of, like, melee and, like, ranged weapons to find and equip.
Yeah.
It's run-based, so the open world is generated. You get, like, at least right off the bat, you get, like, 4 lives, I think, to finish a run, from what I've seen.
And multiplayer.
Yes. Full on when you leave the hub to go back into the world, there's a, like, ready up, even if you're by yourself. So it definitely seems like it. In fact, this game might be more approachable in multiplayer because it's hard.
Okay.
Like, when I played at Summer Game Fest, they had like a bunch of currency and unlocks already on the save that you could mess with. But here, like in the hub, it feels like you start with 0 currency and there are like vendors that aren't even unlocked yet. You have to like find repair parts in the world to unlock some of those vendors.
Okay.
They throw you in there with just a melee weapon, like a basic one. And I looted a shotgun like as soon as I got into the world the first time, and then promptly died and lost it.
No.
So my second time back in, I just had the sword.
So do you keep the repair parts, vendors open, currency when you die? Like,
I haven't finished a full run yet. Like, you have to die 4 times or 5 times basically to fully finish out a run. So I don't know exactly how much carries over from run to run, but it definitely seems like anything you like unlock in the hub would be permanent.
Okay.
I don't know about gear. I don't know if any gear carries over between runs or not. Maybe there might be a concept of like a bank or something in the hub where you could like bank loot you're not using and pick it up for a different run.
Okay.
And of course there are like persistent ability or, you know, like passive unlocks you can buy that'll carry over and stuff like that.
Okay.
I assume, like I said, I haven't finished a full run yet.
Yeah. But, and then we should reiterate, just came out.
Just came out. Yeah. It's in early access. It's like version 0.5. So it seems like they've got quite a ways to go. There's not a ton of onboarding yet. Like, there's some very basic tooltip pop-ups when you start for just kind of some of the fundamentals, but like there's a lot of currencies, there's a lot of ability and equipment slots to figure out that I haven't spent a ton of time staring at yet. But it seems cool. You know, it's like dash, it's the movement is very dash based. You're like dashing out of the way of attacks quite a bit. There's a lock on kind of Dark Souls style. You've still got that hoverboard that I talked about, which is a nice way to, like, instead of sprinting, you have a hoverboard, which is cool. And you've got, like, a Breath of the Wild kind of, like, glider you can pop midair.
So you didn't do the multiplayer stuff yet, right? Like, no. So from what you could, we watched this during the Planorama, or at least I watched a trailer of it, and immediately reminded me again of Risk of Rain 2. Do you feel like that carries into playing it?
I never played Risk of Rain 2. But
oh really? You'd love that game.
Seen a little bit of it, so yeah, I think it's quite similar from what I know, but I can't say very directly.
I mean, it's also similar in the sense that it is a very different version of what the original game was.
You mean different from Hyper Light Drifter?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah, it's like same universe. It looks great. I should say, like, it looks and sounds fantastic. Like, very very glitch art kind of thing, you know, like a lot of a lot of neon pinks and blues and glitchy effects and ambient soundtrack and stuff. It's just, it's all proc gen. Like I said, the environments are generated. And also I think the like enemy spawn patterns are as well, because the way it was just dropping waves of enemies on me out of nowhere felt a bit rude. The first time I spawned into the world, I did not make it like 100 feet from the spawn point, because A, there was some loot right there and I went to go get it. And then B, they spawned a bunch of enemies and an elite right on top of me, like literally 30 seconds into the game. First time ever. And I beat the elite. Like, it took a lot of work because I didn't do a lot of damage, but I had like 4 health out of 75 at the end of that fight. Started looting the stuff that dropped off that elite fight. And then more enemies spawned kind of out of nowhere. And I died. So,
and so you said you get basically by default 4 lives basically per run?
I think
run?
That's right.
But you lost your loot that
like,
you looted?
Like what I was using, I guess, dropped off of me when I died, I guess is how that works.
Okay.
Like I think it tells you when you die, if I remember, it tells you like which currency you're keeping.
Okay.
And what you're not, but I did drop that shotgun that I had equipped. I believe that was the case. It sure seemed like it. It's still fairly early, it seems like. I'm guessing they have a lot of like balancing and ability tweaking and stuff to do, plus like maybe a more thorough tutorial to help get you in better. It seems like it could be very cool, but it does feel pretty early.
And it is early access for those that missed that part.
Done. Like it does feel fairly bare bones in the sense that there's a lot to take in and they just kind of throw you in there. Like it seems like you need to be really serious about wanting to get to know this game and get good at it right now before they reach final.
Get good.
Yeah.
It is $30 to get into early access, and I am just double checking now if they have like any kind of timeline on their Steam page. I'm not seeing it right there. It doesn't mean it's not up somewhere for their roadmap.
About a year, this says.
Okay.
Anticipate being in early access for about a year. This can change depending on response and feedback.
Okay. Yeah. Early access. $30. Hyper Light Breaker. Man, I gotta not say Drifter.
It's a very different game.
I jumped into Dragon Age. These are just two quick games here that I'm debating which one I'm going to spend my time in. So Dragon Age or Indiana Jones. Which one is it going to be?
I know where I lean, but...
Same.
I'm like,
I haven't played either of those games, so I can still tell you where I would lean.
So I'm like halfway through. I streamed a little Dragon Age, and I'm like halfway through-ish. Some people said maybe a little less than halfway through-ish, but, you know, depending on side quest stuff, you know, which is still, you know, a few dozen hours into Dragon Age. And I when I jumped back in, I was like, man, yeah, okay. I would go back in and finish this up. I'm okay with that. And then Indiana Jones I bopped into, and still in the Vatican, clearly. That's where I didn't play
that
much.
You got to get out of the Vatican.
I got to get out of the Vatican.
You got to get out of there.
But I finished up a couple of side quests, gave a professor a piece of stone. He seemed pretty happy. And then I was like, yeah, maybe I should just go move this story forward. So maybe I'll just... It's January. There's not too much that is lined up on my plate right now. Maybe I'll just keep both of those parallel side by side.
Unless you're a big Dynasty Warriors fan or you want to play the Donkey Kong Country game from the Wii.
Yeah.
You've got some time before big games start coming out again.
Yeah, which is great.
Now, Vinny, I have gotten word from the people that you can, in fact, go back and play those older areas in Indiana Jones later. So
I have heard that, So you can travel and go, I will not miss out on all my collectibles.
Yeah, so you can leave freely, and one day you may return.
My only issue, really, and this is just from the little bit I went back into with Jones and it reminded me, was I got lost, especially in the Vatican, where I am, and have to bring up that book constantly to check where the next waypoint thing is. I feel like I'm not navigating well or not memorizing that area well enough, which kind of bums me out because it's constantly bringing the book up, bring the book down, bring the book up, bring the book down.
It's a pretty labyrinthine area, so I don't think that's like terribly surprising. I don't think their map interface is like the best. I like the idea of the tactile map that you're just sort of holding as you walk around. I think it maybe isn't my favorite thing in practice.
Yeah, I almost wish you could just like, like, I get it. I don't know. Would it break the immersion if you could hit a button and have the icon show up like floating in the scene?
I mean, not for me, but you know, I'm not the director of that game. So maybe they felt like it would be too much.
Yeah, maybe. Combat's still fun. Whipping is still fun. Yeah, still silly. Still silly when the mob of henchmen come running after you and then you hide in a corner and they say the search is over and then you can just walk back out and hang out with them again and be like, mm-hmm. Oh, hey, what's going on? You know, that's just games. Maybe that's just video games.
You're right. That is, in fact, video games.
That's video games. But aside from that, I think both of those is probably what I'll be talking about next week, too. Like, I don't know if there's anything. I'm looking at it right now.
You got to get in them root trees, man. I think this game would be your jam.
Yeah, like I said, it was something I want to do with Abby when she is nice and settled back in L.A. Mm-hmm. We had talked about doing it, and then L.A. literally on fire.
So, yeah, no, I mean, that's fair.
Well, hopefully she'll be settled back in. We could check that out. And I don't know if I'm getting into Jedi power battles, so yeah.
Hey, remember when we talked about Jedi power battles on the Planorama?
I do.
Yeah.
And none of us could really remember anything about it.
Uh-huh.
I just happened to notice this morning that I've reviewed that game.
Oh. Stuck with you, huh?
Uh-huh.
I mean, I don't remember every video game I reviewed either.
I got it in front of me right now.
What'd you give it?
A 5.8.
Ooh.
High quality.
What is that? Is that a
mediocre?
Good? Mediocre?
That is a mediocre.
Yeah. Well, yeah, probably sounds right. All right. Any other games we want to talk about in this early January here? You guys good?
Nothing new that I've been playing. I mean, I picking away at Indiana Jones here and there and just kind of, you know, playing my old games. But other than that, yeah. I mean, I'm girding because, I mean, February is going to have a lot of stuff that I know I'm going to spend a lot of time on. Civ 7, I'm looking at you.
Yes. Uh-huh. Like talking to public relations about some games that are coming out next month, for example, like stuff is happening, but
or games that are not coming out next month, which yeah. I guess we'll talk about a little bit after this break.
Huh? I mean, even more so than, you know, like the stuff that's actually come out this month. I did put in a code request for Dynasty Warriors. I did that.
Look, somebody should know.
Yeah, somebody needs to know. I need to know what the origins of Dynasty Warriors are.
That's right.
And somebody mentioned to me that we didn't talk about it on the Planorama. A New Orcs Must Die, which is like, I'm glad that series still has a fan. I actually liked the first one, I think.
Yeah, I also played a fair amount of the first one. I think.
But I haven't gone back.
I think, is this the first new one in quite some time?
Not sure. I have not kept up with the franchise.
Yeah, same.
So, we'll maybe they'll check that out as well at some point.
Yeah.
But yeah, like you said, February, a bunch of stuff on the docket there. But we'll get into the news and maybe talk about surprises or not surprises.
What even February. Is a surprise anymore?
Boo!
Whoa! Ah.
Whoa! Yeah, see.
Careful, man.
Still got it.
You are
still
revolutionary. You're like revolutionizing surprises, man. Holy shit!
All right, stick around. We'll be right back with the news. All right, we are back, and it is time for the news, and you can hear me making air quotes over the news because something about this that is really getting under my skin.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the Nintendo Switch 2 stuff that we've been reporting on since I was 5 years old. It's the rumors, the speculation, the false mock hardware people have held. Brad Shoemaker, seems like we are getting closer. The rumor mill certainly feels like we're getting closer. What is the latest from the rumor mill?
I mean, by all accounts, by the time this podcast goes up, people could have seen this already. In the grand tradition of yes, in the grand tradition of announcements and news about news, it's a leak of a rumor of an announcement about an announcement.
Sure.
The rumor mill, this mostly comes, I think this most recent tidbit comes from YouTuber/podcaster Nate the Hate.
Uh-huh.
Who was a reliable leaker in the past. January 16th, Thursday, also known as the day this podcast goes up.
Yes.
Is currently claimed to be the day they will reveal the Switch 2.
Now, I've been basically pestering you guys with like, how is this going to happen? What is this going to do? Brad, at this point on Wednesday in the afternoon, how do you feel like this is going to go down? Because we don't have any confirmation yet from Nintendo about this announcement.
Yeah, I mean, there's every possibility this will have happened again by the time this goes up. Specifically because I went back and pulled the original Switch reveal, which weirdly is not on Nintendo's channel anymore on YouTube. Mm. They seem to have pulled it down, but other, you know, the GameSpots of the world reposted it at the time, so it's still out there. It was a very thin reveal.
Okay.
It wasn't like, much of anything.
I haven't gone back and looked at Giant Bomb to see what we did with it. It might have come out on Bombcast Day, so we just talked about it on there. But what I remember is it's like a 3.5 minute video.
And it was not part of a direct or anything like that? It was just a standalone video?
Just a YouTube 3.5 minute YouTube video that they just put up.
Okay.
For the first Switch. That's where the infamous young 20-somethings having fun at a party playing Mario Kart on the roof thing came from.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah, I do vividly.
I thought that was not part of a direct. That was a standalone thing. Nope. Okay.
That was the vibe of the reveal. Switch 1 reveal, to be clear. Like, that's just, I mean, who knows if they'll do it exactly the same way, but like, the vibe of that thing was like guy playing Breath of the Wild on his couch and then his dog barks because the dog wants a walk.
Yeah.
And then the guy. Then the guy takes the dog out and continues playing the Switch and completely ignores the dog.
Okay.
Yeah. That poor dog.
Poor dog.
But it was full on like lifestyle piece, tone piece of like, it's a tablet, but you can play it on your TV, but you can take it with you and it's the same games, but it was all just like people at an airport or a party or walking rooftop. Their dog. So
this was not part of the, the sexy Switch game was a different thing, right? That was a Wii game. I think that was a Wii game. You don't remember the naughty?
Oh, I remember the naughty game.
The naughty game? Yes. I thought you were talking about 1-2 Switch for a second.
No. Not the milking game. The other, I guess, I don't know.
The more explicitly naughty game.
Naughty game. Yeah. So do you think that's what we're looking at here? Again, this is pure speculation in the weirdest way because people, like you said, people listening to this probably know, but you think that's what we're looking at?
That has seemed like the case. The closer we get to this supposed date without any word from them, the more likely it seems that they're just going to drop a thing and not like do some kind of direct live streamed, whatever, you know, like longer thing.
Mm-hmm.
Sure enough, that's what Nate the Hate said. And Video Games Chronicle has also said that they've heard similar things, so that it's going to be quite similar to the last one, where it's like a short reveal, mostly focused on the hardware up front. And then sometime later, a bigger reveal with like, here are the games coming out for it. Here's footage of them, prices, dates, whatever.
I do hope if they do go down that road of the kind of shorter hardware reveal, there is someone talking about the differences, like explicitly between the Switch and the Switch 2, and not just the lifestyle video.
It really, I mean, like, First one, it was very easy to sell that thing with a video like that because the gimmick was so fresh at the time.
It was new.
Like, I remember seeing that thing and going like, my God, this is genius. Like,
it's the evolution of what they didn't get right with the Wii U.
Like, this makes so much sense. This is such a cool concept, but like, that's such old hat now.
Yeah.
And not even just for Nintendo. I mean, like, all the Steam Decks of the world do the same type of stuff now. So how they come out and, you know, like, you can show off the magnetic Joy-Cons pretty well in a video like that. Can you say, hey, it does AI upscaling now? I mean, you can say stuff like that, but will they? I don't know. I don't know how they pitch this thing if it's a short, you know, kind of snazzy little piece like that.
Well, it's also inherently a little bit different because the last time when they dropped that video, like you said, there was about 6 months of lead up to when that console was actually coming out. And I don't think they are supposed to have that kind of lead time because they said this thing was coming out in like the first half of this year, right?
Yeah, the Genki at CES last week had said April, but then it looks like these rumors are pegging it more like May, June.
Okay.
For a release. So that's, you know, that's pushing 6 months.
It's in the same general range, yeah.
Yeah. In fact, you know, they say VGC says the same thing. They've heard it's going to be a similar cycle of short hardware reveal with very few to no games and then bigger thing later. Sure enough, I went back and looked and they had an event in New York that Dan and Jeff went to and played the thing and then went back to you guys' office.
Mm-hmm.
And you were sitting around
for the Switch 1, just to be
clear.
For the Switch 1, it was like 3 months after that first short hardware reveal. We had people playing it and then sitting there talking about playing it with B-roll and stuff. So,
well,
could be like March-ish, I would say, maybe for the full you know, launch lineup, here's games, like price, date, blah, blah, blah.
It sounds like you have another story here about Nate the Hate and some possible game.
Yeah, this well, yeah, IGN put together just a list of like, here's every, it's funny. These stories used to be like, here's every game confirmed for the new console. Yeah.
Here's every rumor.
Now it's here's every rumor for games that we've heard are coming out.
Yeah.
It's all third party stuff. It's nothing super surprising, but you know, there's some like notable stuff on here. I think this is mostly Nate the Hate, some Windows Central, a couple of other outlets in here. Final Fantasy VII remake this year for Switch 2 and Rebirth next year.
Okay.
Assassin's Creed Mirage in the launch window. Assassin's Creed Shadows later.
Sure. Yeah, okay.
But who knows when? I'll just say now, since we're talking about that game, they just delayed that game to March, late March.
That was supposed to be next month, right? Originally, yes. Like after that was the first February. Delay.
Yeah, it was supposed to be next month, so they pushed it another month, and also it's like right at the end of the financial year, so it has to come out in March. I'm sure that game's doing fine. They probably just need extra polish time, but anyway. Other Ubisoft stuff, Rainbow Six Siege, The Division. Like, Ubisoft always goes hard on new.
They certainly do.
The preponderance of Ubisoft ports is like the thing you can always expect with a Nintendo console launch.
I mean, there's one interesting thing. Well, this tidbit here says the Mario and Rabbids games are also reportedly coming to Switch 2, potentially in a single package.
Okay.
But that thing is backwards compatible, so you could just play those old games on there anyway, right?
Yeah, but you could resell a bundle.
Yeah,
right? Because those games also didn't sell super well. At least that second one didn't.
Yeah, the first one did really well. The second one, not so much. But, like, yeah, what is that? Is that just a new SKU with both games in it? Like,
and Unchained? The DLC.
I would think so, yeah.
And the DLC, yeah, like, I guess that does make sense.
The complete package.
Metal Gear Solid Delta is another game. That's the MGS3 remake that's not out yet that is said to be. Nathan Hate says that may be day and date on Switch 2. Like, some of these are just interesting from the standpoint of, like, what caliber of games do we think we'll be able to run on this thing?
Sure.
And like, that's a brand new game coming to other platforms, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or like, do we get other versions of it? Like, yeah, I guess we have to know more about the Switch 2, but it should be capable, I think, of running some version of these, right?
Probably like pretty cut down versions. Like Shadows obviously is a full on brand new current gen game. You know, that's not some like last gen hybrid that would need to be dramatically reduced. Right.
There is this next block here is probably the most in that vein of what are we talking about here? This Brad, if you want to jump into Nate the Hate's other rumor here.
Yeah, I think so. Some of this is out of Windows Central as well. Just a battery of Xbox games that are supposedly coming. Flight Simulator 2024 seems
that
nuts.
Thing running on a Switch seems. But
there's got to be some cloud business happening there.
Maybe that's streaming to a Switch somehow.
I don't know what
the under the hood for this thing is yet. So yeah. I mean, who knows? But
yeah, well, I mean, we basically have the specs. Like with those shots of the guts that got out there, people have pretty much confirmed the specs. But like, I need to go eyeball the specs again. But like, I think this thing's probably got enough RAM and CPU to basically be doing more or less reduced versions of the same games at this point. Like, graphically very reduced, to be clear.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of like the underlying like logic and simulation, just the nuts and bolts of what make the game go, I'm guessing are not going to have to be impacted too terribly much to port to this thing.
I guess there's also size considerations. We'll see again what gets confirmed in the end for onboard storage versus additional SD card storage for some of these things. And if they do that,
I hope it's not SD cards.
What was it gonna do?
Something faster than that, god help us.
I don't know, so we'll see with that. The Microsoft stuff is interesting. I do you think they have Microsoft's dream of getting a native embedded Xbox experience on that thing that you can,
I don't know,
yeah,
like Game Pass and stuff? I doubt it.
Yeah, well, maybe just some kind of hook, some kind of Microsoft or Game Pass hook on there that you can log into.
Maybe. I don't know. Hard to say. The rumor here is that Master Chief Collection is also coming to Switch 2.
Yeah, definitely.
And
see
PlayStation,
that.
Actually. That was also part of the rumor, is like Halo on other consoles, finally.
Yeah.
This year, supposedly.
Weird.
Drifted so far from the light, my man. Like, I'm not saying this is a bad thing, but it's just like, holy shit, what is this world we're in now?
when master when you're pushing circle to have Master Chief do a thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a long time coming, but also like, you know, how long?
But it's still crazy.
How long has Minecraft been on other consoles since Microsoft bought it? You know, like it feels like it's been 6, 7, 8, pushing 8 years now since they first started getting some of their stuff onto other competitors' platforms.
Yeah, but like
Minecraft. Yeah. Come on.
Minecraft,
that's a different beast.
Minecraft is a PC phenomenon that Microsoft bought. This is Halo.
That's a little... Okay, it's not apples to apples, but are you going to get a Mario on an Xbox? Or like a...
No, of course, fuck yeah, no. I mean, like, you know... No.
Killzone on an Xbox?
Nothing against the recent Halo games, but like Halo does not enjoy the position of prominence that it once did.
Yeah, as it's a, not as a, at the same spot.
As a franchise, like it's not it's not a system seller anymore.
And clearly Microsoft is trying to push their new strategy here of getting their stuff on other platforms.
Yeah. Yes. Last little bit here. I think this reads like Nate the Hate's speculation. I don't think there's necessarily specific intel that they're working off of here, but they speculate a new Mario Kart at launch, which I think I had said something similar last week. Like it just, it seems like it's way past time.
Hmm.
Like we are very due for a new Mario Kart, and there is nothing that would drive a new Switch harder than a new Mario Kart.
Drive.
And then followed by a new 3D Mario this year, like late this year, holiday time frame.
I could see it.
Which also, you know, it's been 8 years since Odyssey, almost
roughly.
Extremely time for a new 3D Mario as well.
Yeah. And, you know, I suspect whatever bells and whistles they have on this Switch 2 will be in that Mario game. Yeah, whatever mouse control, whatever that thing winds up being, whatever the new fun toys.
Just Mario Paint.
There you go.
Dude,
sure.
Make a new Mario Paint. Yeah. What the hell? What are we doing? What
no,
are we
if you're doing?
Doing
a mouse control thing on your console, that is like such an easy softball toss, man.
How did I not think of that? Oh my God. Make a new Mario Paint. If you've got a mouse in there, you have to, like, you are required by law if you have a mouse attached to a Nintendo console to make a new Mario Paint.
And put the Fly Swatter game back in. Same music. Don't touch it.
Now is the time.
No notes. Ba-dee-ba-dee-ba-dee-ba-dee-ba-dee.
But fucking, for that matter, if that thing works like a mouse, put original Mario Paint on Nintendo Switch Online.
Hell yeah.
Like, what would be stopping you at that point?
Nintendo. Nintendo will get in the way.
Nintendo getting in its own way. That's what.
What? Like, I hope we know more tomorrow.
Dude, I really hope this happens. This is getting incredibly tiresome.
I'm tired of talking about the possibilities. I just want to know.
Yeah.
And then, you know, if we're on this, Nate the Hate or Brad the Rad timeline, which you guys probably are, you know, seem a little more convinced of, then we probably won't even get confirmation of the games for a while yet, right?
A couple months, probably.
Yeah. Well, anything else you want to talk about with Nintendo Switch? Not really. I mean, anything else we should talk about with Nintendo Switch 2?
My original intention was to come in here and just be like, all right, last chance, start speculating. Like, get your predictions in while you can. But
Mario Paint,
seems
that's
like,
it.
Yeah,
but it seems like most of what you could predict or speculate about will not actually get answered tomorrow, even if this does happen, right? Like, probably we won't have anything beyond like name, like look, general look of the thing and features, maybe info about like the hardware specs or something. But like, no, like games, date, price, definitely not happening this week. If this does happen, I don't think we're getting any of those details.
Okay, so the last my last bit of speculation for this, considering what we'll probably get tomorrow, do both of you think this is a Switch 2?
Like name?
Like the name?
I was just going to say, I still think there might be room for them to come out of nowhere with something better than that.
I hope they do, but I don't think they will.
No, I'm definitely not getting my hopes up.
I mean, this is, for all things, if they don't, they have to drop the name. I mean, they have right?
Well, yes. Absolutely. That will be the one clutch piece of information that will definitely come out of this.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, I think they started showing parts of the Wii before they called it the Wii. I think.
Okay.
But they did drop the name of the Switch in that first video.
Yeah, they did. Definitely. I think there is precedent. I want to say it was still Project Revolution when they showed the Wiimote, if I remember. Showing my age here now. Yeah, but anyway. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, whatever. Switch is such an established brand. Absolutely, we get the name.
Do you? Okay, I have another piece. Then, are we done with the snap? The click.
I don't know.
Yeah. Will it be in a video? Will somebody snap their fingers for anything ever again?
It's such a good move. It's such a good brand identity thing, though.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't think you can get rid of that.
What if, okay, Caravella is going to predict it now. Mark it. Even if they have the maglock thing and you have to push a button to do it, digital sounding snap when they lock
it. Oh, I hope so.
The switch makes a snap sound digitally.
Like, I don't.
SLR cameras that do the fake shutter on them.
I'm sure it's been said before. I don't think the Switch gets enough credit for the quality of its event sounds.
Mm-hmm.
Like the UI sound design on the Switch is fucking god tier. It's so good. Like every sound that thing makes is so good. If they don't put in a sound like that when you magnetically attach those things.
Yeah.
But should it just be the existing sound effect, or should it be some like super futuristic high tech, like electronic magnetization sound? Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I'm going to say both. I think it should do like a, just to let you know you've got it in there.
Yeah.
Also, I'm curious to see, I hope they would show the dock, and I would hope.
Yes. That is a huge detail, is I would love to see if the dock has changed. Is it just another dock? Is there something, anything different about the form factor?
Anything different? Any other peripherals that they're looking at, which I assume they would show in a tone piece, like, hey, this is what our plan is for this thing.
I hope it's a little longer than that first one, or for the one for the Switch one was, like, because I would love to know, like, does the dock output 4K, for example?
Totally.
Like, those are actual details that people need to know these days.
Yep. New Pro controller?
Probably.
Can you use the old Pro controller with the new one?
One would hope, but...
Yeah.
But I bet there will be a new one.
Game card slot on it?
That's in the kind of form factor leaks.
Okay.
It looked like a game card slot anyway.
I thought so.
I would assume you could put your Switch 1 games in it, but we'll hopefully find out more, and you might know more when you're listening to this.
Yeah. How the storage expands is a huge one for me. I would love to know.
Yeah. What's it going to taste like?
Yes, of course. How will the cartridges taste?
Mm-hmm.
Console,
but the cartridges too, I guess.
We have to move past SD cards, though. Every other console has got fast loading now. Rumors were pegging whatever the internal storage is in this was some kind of like modern high speed standard that I was not familiar with. It's not NVMe. Something else. But anyway, hopefully they have got that figured out, because if we're putting games on old ass SD cards again, we're screwed.
Like you said, how to expand that would be very interesting.
I don't know what that'll be, though.
All right, that's all coming up hopefully soon. At least we'll know hopefully some more by the end of this week. We mentioned a bit here about Assassin's Creed and the delay.
Mm-hmm.
This doesn't seem to, maybe it's fine, maybe it's not, but Ubisoft seems to be in a spot.
It's only a little weird because they did go to the trouble of confidently saying last time that we don't think we'll be doing another delay. And then they did another delay.
Yeah, I mean, it's only like another month, so
it's not crazy.
I don't think it's like some sign of things being on fire or something, but...
Yeah, there's not too much here. I mean, they're basically saying what? Like, we're taking player feedback as their company
line.
Yeah,
I mean, the stuff always just boils down to we need more time.
I think with the way things have been going for Ubi lately, I think they are probably treating this very much as a, we really can't fuck up this launch because some things are going to have to change in a major way if we do.
Yeah, like Brad, you mentioned before, Star Wars Outlaws had a pretty soft launch. I think they're looking for a big win here with this one.
Yeah.
This is probably one of the bigger things they have left.
I think it's the biggest thing they currently have left.
Yeah. Is there a Far Cry in development?
Not that they've announced.
Not announced, no, but I'm sure.
I bet there is, but
something has to be going on with that. But.
All right. We'll probably know more about that in the future. The new date is March 20th. Is that right?
I think. Yes.
Yeah. Which, again, is right at the end of the quarter / I think their fiscal year probably ends then. So it's not slipping again.
We also mentioned earlier that Xbox is having a developer direct. They're going to bounce around to a couple of studios here. Brad, you want to take us through what their announced plans are here?
Yeah, I mean, they do these developer directs. That's their direct. Everybody's got a direct now. They just called it a direct.
Underscore direct.
Yeah, these things are typically, from what I've seen, these are usually focusing on announced games. You know, they go talk to developers at studios of games that are already on the release slate.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, you see more of them and stuff, but they're not typically vehicles for news to break so much. Like the games they've got announced for this one on the 23rd are South of Midnight, Clair Obscur, Expedition 33, and the new Doom, the Dark Ages. The reason I put this in the news, though, is that Windows Central is reporting that there will be a secret fourth game there.
Oh.
from their story. There's also a mysterious fourth game, and I won't spoil what it is, but our sources indicate that it is a new entry in a legendary Japanese IP, which has decades of history and should make a lot of fans happy.
On right, Xbox. Great.
Shenmue.
Well, look, there you go. I was just about to say, proceed to speculate about this unbelievably broad question.
Decades could
be literally
minimum 20 years.
Could be any one of like thousands of games.
Yeah.
Start guessing.
Okay. Like, well, the thing we have to tie this to is Microsoft, though, right?
Yes. Like, yeah, basically, like, you have to tie it to their ability to get a Japanese publisher to debut a game on Xbox, or at least on their stream. That doesn't mean it's exclusive necessarily.
New Panzer Dragoon.
That's not the worst guess.
Okay.
I don't know how much that would move a needle, but it feels like at least within the wheelhouse.
Is that Sega?
That's Sega. Yeah. That's pretty niche, but like definitely a certain small subset of people would get very excited about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that game's about 30 years old.
A Togi?
Interesting. Isn't that From?
It is FromSoft, but it was an Xbox game.
That would actually be kind of wild, actually.
I would be excited about that legitimately.
That game is like came out in 2002. A new Otogi would definitely get people hype.
Okay, sure. Good guess. Put Otogi on the board.
I don't have much else.
I mean, Sega's a good guess because they're doing a lot right now. Yeah,
Sega's kind of firing on a lot of cylinders right now.
Yeah. Capcom would be a weird one, you know, like I feel like I can't think of a
Bionic Commando. Probably not.
It's Dead Bionic Rising Commando is probably tried. Not considered a no, Japanese no. IP, right?
Well, I mean well, it is an origin for sure, but it's not, I don't know if it's quite old enough, and also it's kind of out there. This really sounds like something that has not been around for a while.
Yeah. A resurgence of something.
Yeah, honestly, like something like Otogi is not a bad guess.
Fuck it, Shirin the Wanderer.
I don't even know what that is. Oh wait, I know what that is.
Yeah, you know what Shirin the Wanderer is. Come on.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was literally just the first Japanese game that like floated into my mind that I've not seen anyone do anything with in a while. Fucking, I don't know. Metropolis Mania. Fucking Mr. Mosquito.
Ikaruga 2. Yeah. 3. 4. Whatever number they're up to.
I don't even know if they made a second. Did they make a second Ikaruga? No. So yeah, there you go. There was 2. A sequel.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, obviously this is like, wait a minute.
Incredible Crisis.
Oh, okay. I was second guessing myself. There is not, in fact, a second Ikaruga.
There is? Okay. I thought they had made something else.
Incredible Crisis. That would be very funny.
Now's the time. There's never been a better time to bring back Incredible Crisis.
That would be very funny. I don't know. I mean, it's obviously this is impossible to answer this question. And
I think we did. How could they have something different?
It's one of those 11 games we just said.
Speculating. You know, you obviously can let your wish casting run away with you to the point that whatever it ends up being will be disappointing. But I hope it's something exciting.
Yeah.
It would be cool for Microsoft to just throw money at some Japanese developers to bring some stuff back, assuming this is them funding it.
Here's my follow-up question. Does this game then come to the Xbox, and then do they put this on PlayStation and Switch also?
Yes and yes.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on if they're even publishing it in the first place. Although I think these developer directs are all games they are putting. No, Clair Obscur is not them.
No. What is going on with that game? I guess I would like to see what's going on. I guess I can watch.
I think we'll find out.
There's a fair amount of footage of that game out there already. That game looks cool. I want to play that.
All right. And also I'm curious to see more of the Doom stuff, just yes. to see what they're doing there. That is on the 23rd, which is next Thursday as of the time of this recording. And that is scheduled according to this for 1 PM Eastern time. And like Brad said, those are generally a little more sit and dive deep dives with the games. All right.
Although it's cool. It's cool if they're going to start announcing games with those. More games better than less.
Yeah. Especially if they're coming out. They don't need any more.
Yes, I want games that are going to come out. Please do not announce games that are not going to come out.
Brad, you put this story on here. We talked a little bit about this, I think, on the Ramblecast somewhere. Yeah. This is a fun one, I guess. Fun one.
Mostly just a good excuse to weigh in on the state of content algorithms, I guess.
Uh-huh. Let's do it.
The Crazy Taxi with live backing band at Awesome Games Done Quick.
Yeah.
A thing which most people have probably seen at this point because it really blew up on the internet.
It was pretty fucking cool, to be fair.
Because why wouldn't it?
Yeah. It's a genuinely fun thing they did.
Games Done Quick got a pop punk house band to come in and play songs from the Crazy Taxi soundtrack rather than get content struck or copyright struck by trying to stream the original music.
Yeah.
What a fantastic solution to one of the most idiotic problems currently facing gaming today.
Yeah, like who's on that soundtrack again? Offspring, right?
Yeah, Offspring. Here, I'll just pull up the full thing so I'm not just like guessing.
And it's worth noting, if you haven't seen it, they play to the footage, so they stop and start and stop.
Nice.
And start,
yes. Okay. Which was very, very well done.
Yeah. It's a fun thing for a super annoying problem.
Yeah.
Bad Religion was on there.
Yeah, Bad Religion.
Oh, if I can find the full soundtrack. I know it's on here somewhere.
Anyway, you know, look, creative solutions to stupid problems. Slick is like the name of internet content, right?
Well, it's also the name of speedrunning. Like, that's exactly what speedrunning is finding creative solutions to things that make you go faster.
Fair.
Yeah.
Fair.
Offspring, Bad Religion, The Hooks, and Too Rude. Apparently there's like five, or it's okay, there's four Bad Religion songs and three Offspring songs on that soundtrack.
Oh, weird. That's way less. Well, that was early in the like licensed soundtrack game.
Yeah.
Like very early.
They added more on some of the re-releases of Crazy Taxi with like slightly more up-to-date bands, but honestly, most of those up-to-date bands I've never fucking heard of, so there you go.
I keep having to remind myself that there is a new Crazy Taxi still in development.
Yeah, and I think that's like one of the only ones that they've like kind of advanced a little bit in terms of like what they've shown of it.
Yeah. Anyway, this is a fun, dumb
fun
thing.
It's great. Yeah, they shouldn't have to do this, but I'm glad they did it.
Yeah.
There is a mention in this story, which makes sense, about like, hey, you know, this, maybe you could do this with a Tony Hawk, which is also a pretty fun, dumb thing.
I will literally learn the Tony Hawk 2 soundtrack top to bottom if you need a live drummer for that.
I love the idea of the house band at Awesome Games to be like learning all these soundtracks so people can get around this stuff.
Hang on. I'm just looking this up now. I want to see what songs on the Tony Hawk 2 soundtrack I already know. I know a couple of them already. Here we go. All right.
Does anybody speedrun Tony Hawk?
They speedrun everything.
There has to be a way to do it. Yeah. All right. I could definitely play Rage Against the Machine Gorilla Radio. That's easy. Papa Roach Blood Brothers. I could figure that one out pretty fast. Power Man 5000 When Worlds Collide. That is just emblazoned on my brain. I got that one. Bring the Noise is a little harder. I could do it though.
Man, they really have Bring the Noise on that soundtrack?
They super do, yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, no, there's not a single song on the soundtrack I don't think I could do. So, like, you know, give me a ring ding ding if you need it for next year. I'm around.
Well, I think we know what our next Patron's Choice drumming stream is going to be.
Not all those songs can be played in Clone Hero as of this moment, but I will see what I can make happen between now and next year.
Folks, get charting. Get out there and get charting.
Get on that Millen, Colin.
Did you guys see anything else from Awesome Games? I haven't had a chance to kind of peel through. I mean, I saw the Big Rig stuff, you know, watch that. But I haven't seen anything else. So if anybody has any highlights from it, feel free to share them with me wherever your fine caravellas are found. I would like to see the good stuff.
Usually in the shed out back is where they find you.
Yeah. Or behind it.
Ooh.
But I think that's going to do it for the news. I'm literally just clicking on a refresh here of I'm stalling to just make sure nothing has been confirmed.
No breaking
for
news as of this moment.
Yeah,
for the Switch.
At this point, I didn't think that we will just like wake up and it'll be there.
Mm-hmm. I honestly have to say I thought 24 hours ahead we would have had something.
That's not an unreasonable thing to think. Honestly, well, I really don't think it is.
Yeah, you know, but like if they're looking at it as news just happens, right? Like announcements just happen. They don't typically get pre-announced or whatever. Like live streams do because that's like a live engagement. You know, they like want people to be there at a time.
Yeah.
But if it's like, but if it's an offline reveal, you know, like they just look at it as if it were a press release or something.
Yeah. Right? But like even like a stay tuned, you know, watch this space. Like, well, I just, guess that's, you not know, their
hey,
style.
Save the date.
Yeah. Or like we've seen all the rumor stuff. Stay tuned this week. I don't know. But not as of now, not as of we move on from the news of this recording. We do have an email address. It is podcast@nextlander.com, podcast@nextlander.com. Brad Shoemaker, do we have any fine emails this week?
We do. Speaking of where fine caravellas are found.
Okay, mm-hmm. Great.
Stephen from Scotland wrote in. My wife and I are heading back to Scotland after spending our silver wedding anniversary in New York. Congratulations. On leaving our hotel, the doorman suggested we take the yellow cab to JFK and that the cabbie would give us a discount. The doorman was the spitting image of Vinny. In fact, he sounded exactly like Vinny, too. Uh-huh. I double-taked and almost asked him if his name was Caravella.
Uh-huh.
If it was you, Vinny, then thanks. You look really good in top hat and tails.
Thank you very much. That was me. That's my moonlighting job.
Vinny, there are several versions of you that seem to be running around because there was a photo I saw of one of the co-founders of VLC that was the video player that was at CES, and it looked like you wearing a fucking wizard cone on your head.
Wait, that was not Jean-Baptiste Kempf, was it?
It might have been. I don't know. I don't know them by name, but it was one of the co-founders.
Because we interviewed him on the Fosspod one time. He is an interesting guy.
Yeah, okay. It might have been him.
Anyway, yeah, that VLC at CES stuff was incredible. I don't know why they even showed up there, but anyway.
VLC is still kicking around.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. It's for sure. But I mean, you know, like they don't have a product to sell, you know?
No, they went because they felt like it, apparently.
They're not hawking wares at CES the way most people are.
How do they make money?
Like donations and stuff. That's actually one of the things he was very opinionated about on that interview we did was how many corporations are making money on their work and not contributing anything back.
Oh yeah, well that would make people angry.
I will just say, for my part, I've moved on to MPC video player primarily as my main source to watch pirated things, but VLC will always hold a place in my heart.
Yeah, I've still got it installed. I mostly use MPV these days, but I felt kind of like a turncoat when I saw that stuff because it was so cool.
Yeah, VLC also still have it installed, and I've also used other products, but no, I don't think that was me.
No. Just not moonlighting during the day.
Not that I'm going to reveal here.
All right.
Not that safe for this podcast. I was listening to a story. I think it was The Moth or something. And it was talking about this guy who keeps getting into fights at bars. He would just sit at the bar and people would come up and dudes would mostly come up to him and just want to fight him. And at some point, a guy asked him like, "Yo, man, like what is up?" The guy was like, "I just realized I just look like people's dads." The guy telling the story was like, "Oh yeah, you do have a real like anyone's dad look." He's like, "Yeah, I think there's just a lot of dudes who just want to fight their dad."
Oh yeah, there is like genuinely, I think, no more baked in thing into especially like the American male psyche than a latent desire to have a fist fight with your dad.
So maybe I just have a certain look. Maybe I've got doorman look or VLC tech person look. I don't know. Or just white dude with beard look at this point.
Yeah, whatever you got.
Whatever I got. I'm rocking it.
There's a lot of those out there.
Yeah, a lot of those. Brad, we got another email?
Yeah. I don't think this one's from December. I flagged it to read. I don't think we did. Apologies if we did. From Dan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Up here in Sweden, I didn't have access to the Super Mario Brothers cartoon show back when it was first broadcast. He's talking about the Super Mario Brothers Super Show.
You definitely didn't read this one.
I stumbled over a few episodes the other day going down an internet rabbit hole. I have questions, chiefly amongst them are...
Okay.
Number one, the two middle-aged, not at all offensively characterized Italian-Americans interspersed between cartoons. Was this considered good and cool?
All right, you put some fucking respect on Captain Lou Albano's name, all right? That man is a legend. He deserves better reference than just as the two fucking one of the two Italian stereotypes on a cartoon show.
Fair.
I mean, the other guy, I don't even know his name.
Yeah, I mean, Captain Lou did leave the rubber bands at home for that one.
Yeah.
To be fair.
He was an actor.
Yeah.
He's a professional. Was it cool?
I mean, at the time I thought they were cool-ish.
Yeah,
did you think they were cool or were you like, this is fun? I thought it was fun.
Fun is the word for it. Absolutely. I enjoyed
all in on the joke.
I enjoyed the weird celebrity guests they would occasionally get on, like your Elvira's and what have you. I think the cartoons always were a little bit off-putting to me because they were always just wrong in just such a way that like it drove me a little bit crazy. But yeah, it was cool to have that on TV regardless.
Yeah.
Are there more?
The other question is that rap an actual crime?
Yes. The Super Show rap is it's not like it's like a misdemeanor, but it is a crime.
Yeah, there were a lot. Can't take things out of context. There was a lot of rapping at that time.
Yeah, that was pretty early in rap penetrating the mainstream and people trying to do it who maybe shouldn't have.
There was so much rapping happening, like just everywhere, everywhere. Like you couldn't turn on a TV, a radio, or something without somebody thinking they should start spitting rhymes or something when they should not be.
Nine firmly, times out of ten, they should not have been.
Like that was firmly in the "My name is Mario and I'm here to say" kind of era.
1000%.
Yes, everybody was doing it. Kids were doing it. Parents were doing it. It's not our proudest moment. It's not our proudest moment.
Just for historical sake here, I will say Luigi was played by Danny Wells, I only know, the only other thing I know from is he had a regular role in the Jeffersons. Beyond that, couldn't tell you a fucking thing about him.
The cartoon itself, for all 12 frames of it per episode, was pretty garbage.
Yeah, the cartoons weren't great. I don't know which one was worse, the Mario cartoon or the Zelda cartoon, but they were, neither was actually good. But you know, when you were like seven and you didn't know any better, it was like fine.
Yeah, I tried watching it with my kids. It's kind of bawdy in places that like the between the game stuff.
How does that go down? Do they come to you saying like, hey, we heard about this 40-year-old cartoon and we want to know more? Or do you like subtly try to get it in front of them? Or do you just tell them, sit there and watch this?
I think that one was, it probably was some combination of this is pre-Mario, the movie. Of you guys should see this, you should be made aware of this, and also like Netflix Kids or something recommendation, like you know, like they,
it was on Netflix.
So they already know Mario, so there's an in already there where you can be like, okay, here's another version of this thing you kind of like already.
Yeah, or like you should see this, you should know, you should know what's going on here, and like you should watch the original Sonic stuff too, like you should know what we all had to suffer through and how good you have it now.
It's so weird that our generation was kind of like the bleeding edge of the forever franchise phenomenon,
because
like, was there anything that you grew up with that your parents also grew up with and were like, hey, you should see what like, I guess arguably like G.I. Joe was around way before but it was so different at the time.
It was so different. Yeah.
The point I'm saying, like, you know, there was nothing I was watching or playing with in the 80s that my dad came to me and was like, oh, you should look at the version of that I played with.
Like the Addams Family
30 years ago.
Like the Addams Family when they remade it. Like, I think.
Yeah, kind
of. Like a lot of movies, I feel like there were movies Italian Job and stuff like that.
Right, but even there was like a multi-decade gap between the original thing. You know, this is like there has just been a continuity of Mario shit for the last 40 years.
Yeah.
Oh, it has never stopped.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes. No, I don't
know. They never turned that Mario faucet off.
Probably some game show is the best I can think of. Like, you know, like a game show that just ran forever from the 60s onward, or the Rolling Stones. That's it.
There you go. Yeah. It's bands, basically.
Yeah. My Rolling Stones action figures are just about falling apart at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. As your Keith Richards.
Mm-hmm. Watts is missing a leg. It's a real problem.
My Keith Richards figure has been through some shit.
Yeah. Heroin mostly.
Just hit a button. Just heroin just comes out.
Just a bunch of needles like fall out of the ceiling. Keith, you're doing all right. It's all in good fun. I'm happy you're still with us.
I feel like every time I wonder about Keith Richards, I'm like, how is Keith Richards doing? I look it up. He's like 62 or something. He's younger.
He's in his 80s.
Oh, he's up there now.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, he just always looked 97, you know?
Yeah. I mean, look, you drink that much and you do that many drugs, it's going to put some crags on your face. He is 81.
Was he the one that had, like, all of his blood replaced?
I do believe so, yes.
He's also Keith Richards, that dude. We talked a little bit about this. I've never been a better podcast, but that guy who wants to live forever, that like, you know,
Brian Johnson guy or whatever. Yeah.
He's going to be super pissed when Keith Richards lives longer than he does.
Yep.
Yep. No, no, you know what? He won't, because he'll be dead and he won't know it.
Turns out the secret was just pickling yourself.
Yeah.
It's a bunch of drugs and a lot of, yeah.
Just leave a Keith Richards out in the sun for a while. You'll be fine.
Yeah. It's like Zartan. He just kind of, he changes mm-hmm. into a different person if you leave him out there. All right. Any other emails?
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Here's one from Jay Bogus.
Okay.
About enshittification.
Oh, I love it. One of my favorite topics.
I've come to greatly appreciate and enjoy the Nextlander community that y'all have built, especially the Discord server.
Thank you.
What with all the big tech companies leaning real hard into removing every last vestige of useful features from the services many of us have come to rely on over the last 20 years, it does make me wonder and worry about the future of Discord. What do you think will happen to the Nextlander community and any other Patreon communities built around Discord if the inevitable happens and we all have to jump ship? Personally, I'm leaning towards bringing back PHP BB forums, but that's just because my idea of a perfect internet is stuck somewhere around 2002.
Yeah, I have had these thoughts because there have been a couple of moments where something has bubbled up that has made me go, oh no, is Discord about to shitify itself? So far, that has not happened in a major way, but it's definitely given me those pangs of like, what do we do if this goes wrong?
And we're all going to just retreat into the YouTube comments. That's where we've been keeping a safe, clean space in there.
Keeping it in reserve just in case.
That's right, in pocket.
This kind of thing has happened. Like, you know, Reddit has been through some shit the last 2-3 years of like large swaths of the user base revolting against management decisions and stuff. So like, it's certainly not unheard of. I mean, Twitter, let's not even get into.
I think the solution would probably present itself in some way, but I don't know.
Yeah. It's hard to say. I mean, it's like impossible to predict how things that are this like socially influenced would turn out, but it seems like the potential for everything to kind of re-Balkanize is pretty high.
Yeah.
Just people settling back into smaller communities scattered across different, it's kind of already happening to some degree.
Yeah.
Especially with the TikTok ban, actually. Like, you're seeing people migrate platforms left and right these days as shitty decisions centrally made take place. As far as like the Discord tech, there's like all kinds of Discord style competitors, like open versions of Discord, like Matrix, and there's some others I can't think of off the top of my head. Some of those are more like Slack replacements rather than Discord replacements, but there's tons of like open chat platforms these days that people could end up on, but those lack the centralization, obviously, of some of these big platforms. I don't know. It's an ongoing forums thing. Yeah, I mean,
you said it earlier. Back to forums.
I'm all about some forums coming back.
What is your preferred forum type?
As far as like Nested or Flat,
like a
or
Slack
whatever
news. Yeah. Like,
or like the kind of those classic, like, well, I guess it's Reddit style now, but like the /dot Shack News style.
Yeah. Shack News. Yes.
I like Nested comments.
Okay.
Of that nature. I think those are pretty easy to read quickly.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm fine with a flat forum too, though. Like, I never stopped reading any of the forums I was on in the late 90s to early 2000s.
Great.
That still exist. I still keep up with those to some degree.
As long as you can put in a built-in that posts every time automatically, forum sig and also like sig image, then you have made a forum I will hang out on.
So when we get forums on our imaginary website, that is going to be forthcoming. Really, you will not be able to post anything of substance. You will just have a forum sig and an animated avatar, and that's all you post.
Yeah, yes. That's it.
You can only communicate entirely through your sig.
100%.
And your sig needs to have your computer specs. It has to have your TrueNAS build.
Yes. You just update your sig and people will go query it. It's like basically a plan file at that
point. Yeah, and a Monty Python quote in there somewhere as well. Yeah,
100%. Can we just bring back Finger?
Oh my gosh, yes. You know what? If we'd built a forum, and I'm not saying we will, but we should have a pool of sigs that just rotate in and out that are just random TrueNAS builds, random quotes, just go around and take
somebody's absurd AV home theater setup.
Totally. Yes. Their streaming setup, their sick computer rig, their vape rig, whatever you got.
Yep. All of it. Whatever rig you got.
quotes from The Matrix.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, totally. Yes. Different tiers on the forum will get you access to better and better rotating signatures.
Animated GIF avatars. Here we go.
Yeah.
All of it.
Yeah. I don't know. I think I'm probably fine with and ready for more smaller scattered internet communities to come back. Like I said, I still at least lurk in all the old ones I was always a part of. So like,
yeah,
I got no problem with that, but a lot of people lurk in a lot of them.
Some I don't lurk in anymore.
Yeah. A lot of people do seem to value the centralization of one giant platform that everybody is on though. So I don't know.
Yeah. Is that going to do it for the emails?
Yeah. Let's call it there.
Let's call it there. And let's call it Jude Law January.
Yeah. Okay. I had intended to pitch this offline, but maybe I should just bring this up now.
Okay.
All right. Can we come up with a theme that results in us after Gattaca watching The Talented Mr. Ripley?
Oh.
Is there any way we can transition into something that would give us an excuse to do that? Because I feel like that's like the Jude Law movie, right? And I've never seen it. And I don't even know what it's about. There.
But that's always the one I've heard.
I've never seen it before either.
But is he a maniac?
It's a Matt Damon movie primarily. Matt Damon is the star, but like Jude Law is one of the main cast members of that movie, and it is a very central figure in it.
Okay, because we don't have to, but we've
watched so much Jude Law at this point that now I'm like, okay, that's the one he got an Oscar nomination for, right? Like,
yeah, I feel like
I should see it.
The easiest one I can do as far as like themes go would be let's just do a series of movies about con artists, because that is roughly what that movie is about.
Okay.
Oh, it all is. Right. See, okay. I thought it was more like American Psycho. That could be pretty good.
There might be some things that are a little psychotic about it, but I don't really want to say more than that.
Okay.
Con artists and unsavory figures would be a pretty good theme, actually.
Yeah.
Cons and crimes.
Sure.
So watch Cool Hand Luke or something or some old con movies that are classics.
The Sting.
I've never seen it.
You know what? Let me ruminate on that one a little bit. I bet I can come up with something before we're done with this month.
What? Okay, right. This is not related to The Talented Mr. Ripley, but is the Hustler or the Color of Money?
Yeah. In that they both have Paul Newman, I think, is the main thing there.
So Paul Newman is the young one in The Sting, and then the old one in the Color of Money.
The Sting is from the 70s, and it is an old timeier story. I have not seen The Sting in a very long time. Okay. I just remember it's about grifting. And it has Robert Redford and Paul Newman.
Okay.
Let me ruminate on that one a little bit. I bet I can put something together for you real easy.
Okay. More Jude Law.
Hey, I would love to watch The Talented Mr. Ripley again. That movie is fucking great.
Yeah? All right. I've never seen it either. I've
always heard amazing things about it. Never seen it.
That's a movie I've talked a lot of shit about Gwyneth Paltrow lately. She's really good in that movie. Okay. Also.
The reason we're talking about Jude Law, because it's the reason for the season. We are nearing the end of our Jude Law January Sci-Fi Month. We have just recorded our AI Artificial Intelligence Watchcast. That should be up next week on the Patreon.
Mm-hmm.
And then we finish it out with Gattaca.
Very excited about that one.
Gattaca. I am excited to see if it holds up, because I hold it in high esteem, and I would love to go watch it again. That's over on the Patreon. That's the Watchcast. You can find a bunch of stuff over on the Patreon, patreon.com/nextlander. Like I said, we just recorded Never Been a Better Podcast. That'll probably be up next week. We got the video Ramblecast up there, the audio Ramblecast up there, Planorama is up there. Everything you could ever want. It's all there, and it's all waiting for you. Just go up there. Find Alex, you're pointing, they can't see
you. I'm pointing at the camera, all right? It's for you.
You go there, you find a tier that's right for you, bop in there. You can even upgrade a tier, check it all out, and then see if that tier fits you over patreon.com/nextlander. There is one tier there, though. We've got a couple of them. There is one tier that gets their names read on this here show, and it's the Mysterious Benefactors tier, and I'm going to read those names for you today. starting with Sean Miller, RRE, Alpha Rhythm, Infelicitous Rips, Kelly F, Brian Lucier, Skywarp, John Hubbard, NXL Retirement Fund, Evan Cook, Mark Wilhelm, Jerry Lee, Chaotic Deidre of Darkness, Gary Pejke, Robert Fisher, Bunny Thing, Jad Rita, Statics, Brian Murphy, Randy Duax, Randy Alderson, Andrew Tiebkin, Alex Wu, It's Me JP, Edward Chick, Andrew Slosky, Steve Lin, Matthew Herrig, David Campos, and Tyler Treese. Now you see, I want to thank these mysterious benefactors. And there's a lot of names there you recognize week after week. And the real trick is those names will be forever burned into your head for immortalized week after week.
That's right.
It's amazing. It's amazing. There are certain names there that I just, when I hear things out in the world, trigger those names out there. And I'm like, man, they're in there. They got in there. So thanks to our mysterious benefactors, and thanks to everybody who supported us in 2024, 2023, 2020. When did we start?
21.
Oh my God. Over the last
almost 4 year mark.
Billion years. Thank you so much. And again, if you are thinking about it, go check it out. Patreon.com/Nextlander. See if there's a tier that's right for you. Give it a spin. Give it a whirl. If you would you kindly, that reference still play?
Yeah. It doesn't not play.
Yeah. I should have me think of my kids should play BioShock.
Sure.
Yeah.
Eventually.
Yeah. I'm trying to think through if their generation would have any affection whatsoever for that thing or awareness of it. And probably not. But I mean, you know, I would like to think it still holds up reasonably well.
I didn't mention this at the top. I'll mention it quickly here. My son has requested to play Souls games.
Oh.
So I set him up with that Demon's Souls PS5 remake. And I'll tell you what, man, watching him play that game, I'm like,
bringing back some things.
I'm like, give me that controller. Yep. I want to see if I can make it. Give me that controller. Can I do this run? Can I take a run at this? Oh man, those games are good. I didn't play that remake. It seems like a pretty good one.
Have
I don't
you
know.
Played it at all?
No, I had buy it. Yeah, I didn't even own it. The Dark Souls remaster I also bought on the PlayStation 5. I don't know how those are. I had them all on PC, or at least the Demon Souls I had on whatever console it came out on. Then I bought them PS3. On PC for the Dark Souls stuff. But yeah, that remaster, or remake, I should say, seems pretty awesome. I don't know if they changed anything. Do you know?
Mechanically, not really.
Okay.
Don't quote me on that. There might be differences, but it was supposed to basically be the same game under the hood.
It's Demon's Souls is its own thing, man.
Yeah,
it's like
it is
eating the grass and the, like, you know, no bonfires and the shortcut heavy it is.
Although weirdly, it felt like the series. I guess it's a series, even though technically that's like Demon's Souls is kind of separate from Dark Souls, but it felt like it swung back in that direction because they all went back to central hubs with teleporting around
smoking.
A lot, whereas Dark Souls 1 almost feels like the outlier to me now, like much more like big interconnected world that you have to traverse from end to end. Like all the others are much more, here's your central hub area that you port in and out of.
Yeah, Elden Ring is like, you know, Elden Ring's a pretty big open traversal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just weird. It's like, I have to keep reminding myself like, oh, right. Yeah. Now heal up, because this is your healing. This is what you got. Like, don't be too precious about it. And just some of the mechanics and stuff in there. Do you remember, Brad, you have a pretty decent memory. Do you remember, like, my son was asking me, and I didn't have a good answer for him. Do you go through World 1 traditionally and beat the Tower Knight at the end? Or do you get up to, like, the Tower Knight and then bounce over to some of the other worlds to level up? Because that dude was getting crushed.
I think you
Tower
can
Knight.
Do that.
Yeah, you definitely can. I don't remember if it's like, no, you should be able to do this, or
I don't
if it's
remember.
Like, yeah, I don't remember. I couldn't remember either.
I would be able to go look at that stream series and tell you actually what I did, but
I know what I did, which was go fight those rolling skeletons and grind them out forever, and go get the Drake sword by cutting off that dragon's tail with a billion arrows. And I don't want to foist that on my kids. Don't just play and have fun.
They got to find their own way.
Yeah. Have fun. Speaking of having fun, I hope you had a good time, everybody. Mm-hmm. We have Monday. I played some Dragon Age: The Veilguard to see if test the water, see if I'm ready to go back into it. I haven't touched it since before the break, and I think I'm ready to go back in. I think I might continue with that, like I said before. Tomorrow, Brad, you and I are on the docket for more We Were Here.
Yeah, I might play some more of that instead of talking over a Switch thing.
Yeah.
Because it sounds like there, even if it happens, there may not be much to talk over.
Yeah, if it happens, we'll certainly play the video and probably talk about it. But yes, that is our plan, to jump into some more of that. That's the co-op game. We'll probably ditch the walkie-talkie stuff if it's not any better by the sequel there. And then on Friday, you and Patrick are back for some more Volgaring.
Yes.
Volgar.
Yes.
Do you remember how close you are, or Patrick is? Is it a number of worlds to maximum worlds?
It's 5 worlds. I think he's on 4.
Oh, okay. I think
I'm still on 3.
Okay.
Can't quite remember.
We'll find out on Friday. You can join us there with all the other stuff, too, I just mentioned before, but that's going to do it for our podcast. Thank you very much, Alex Navarro.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brad Shoemaker.
Thank you.
And we'll be back next week.